Blog Talk Radio.
We are live and on set, and I want you guys to come to this discussion about levels of antisocial personality disorder, mental health, and also workplace misconduct and bullying in the workplace. Because it's becoming prevalent for people to have emotionally violent behaviors and not think that they are emotionally violent. And when we think about this, what does that mean? We're talking about, like, levels and layers and depths of personality disorders or different things that people do that are considered misconduct-laden times of me too, nature. So when we're thinking about workplace bullying, it's becoming more prevalent and occurs on and offline. A lot of people are becoming more and more capable of doing insidious levels of ambient force of controlling behavior or abusive behavior in nature. So when we're talking about how that is unacceptable in the workplace, we need to have bullying awareness and training about what it means, and then on top of that, what it constitutes as, and then making your apology sincere if you just mean it. But if you are intentionally, repeatedly, repetitively causing someone discomfort on and offline or in your environment, you are nothing more than a what we consider a domestic terrorist flying underneath the radar. So when we talk about those levels of antisocial personality disorder, we need to have this conversation and unpack this because a lot of people are getting comfortable being this way. But we have to think about, why are people being comfortable being so insidiously aggressive or micro or macroaggressive in their behaviors? And, you know, is it self-esteem? Is it self-confidence? Is it levels and depths of lack thereof? And when we're talking about people who bully, provoke, gaslight, emotionally abuse, we're talking about levels, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult. Anybody who acts in the nature of uncomfortable towards someone else and creates a level and layer of activity or misconduct, engaging in practical levels of pathological abusive behavior that is not only repetitive, but it causes somebody's self-esteem, self-confidence, or layer of torment or reactive abuse syndrome in that other person, what you are doing at that point would be considered a layer of bullying, provoking, gaslighting, insidious times that lead to discomforting behavior. So when we think about workplace violence and emotional violence and things like that, we need to have that conversation. And here's why. It's becoming more prevalent to sit in places of positions of authority and do the same exact thing, and there's no accountability there. And when we're talking about IT3 crimes and we're talking about layers of depth, as a lot of people are living their life from people going postal at work or people snapping and finally going off on someone at work. And I had this conversation a long time ago with my family about that type of stuff, because I said this type of workplace violence, you're seeing more and more people going to the workplace, shoot the place, or doing something to the coworker because they finally snapped. So I wanted people to understand and understand how we all as a collective, as a whole, as we're healing the nation, begin to look at the implementation of ethics in the workplace and also for teens and adults who feel bullied or victimized in the workplace, in the school place, in your home, or outside their home or in their environment. And this speaks near and dear to my heart because my child was the target of a lot of bullying while she was in middle school and then going to high school. And, you know, I never thought I would say that I've seen the epic failure in parenting. And I'm not trying to say I'm the best parent in the world. I'm not perfect, but I'm not also a bully. I don't believe in bullying my child. I don't believe in emotionally feeling like I'm the queen bee and there's wannabes and that I should make somebody feel less than me. And when we think about Rosalind Wiseman's author, Queen Bees and Wannabes, we think about the book that inspired the motion picture, The Mean Girl. But we now have mean boys. We have now people who think that it's okay to have a moment of fame, 15 minutes of fame, or clout. Now, keep saying that literally clout is one hell of a drug. Clout is going to be the main reason why a lot of people get hurt in workplace or outside of school. Because when we think about this, we're in the age of digital. We're in the age of IT3 crime. We're in the age of where it's okay to bully, harass, and provoke someone, and it's funny. And it used to be 10 years back that you didn't have that leeway there and do that kind of stuff. Maybe 12 years back, we didn't have that layer of where people felt comfortable being toxic. And when we think about this bullying situation and raising the self-confidence and self-awareness for other people, whether you're special needs, whether you're outside of special needs, whether you are gay, lesbian, straight, transsexual, bisexual, homosexual, and nomenclature of sexuality, or even if you're heterosexual. Nobody in their right mind should sit there and continue to bully, harass, provoke, death threat, or gaslight someone who fights back if they're being bullied. And the reason why I'm speaking to this is that recently I had somebody get online with a fake account trolling me, provoking, gaslighting, sex times first and done it in like a 2-week time span. And when we're talking about layers and levels of playing these types of emotional head games and bullying head games and things like that, it can make somebody uncomfortable, not feel safe, or compromise their sense of safety and well-being. So when I say that the levels and insidious behavior of people is becoming prevalent, that it needs to be spoken on, we need to have this seminar and understanding this, because a lot of us have bullied children. A lot of us are either single parents or are married or in a relationship or engaged. And, you know, whether you have children or not, if even in the workplace, we're talking about workplace harassment, bullying, provoking, gaslighting, the same thing with having mean girls and mean boys at work. And the same thing with having toxic bosses or toxic stress or toxic environment. So when we think about isolation and for my baby's heart, I want you guys to understand the needed added understanding of antisocial personality disorder and narcissistic people or pathological abusive people to get off on causing harm. And the reason why I say they get off on causing harm, because they continue to do it even when you address it. Nobody in their right mind would continually harm someone emotionally or insidiously make fake accounts, provoke, and gaslight someone online, offline, or at work. And when we think about that, we see what constitutes as workplace harassment, bullying, and then on top of that, emotional torment. So when we think about all these things, what is cyberbullying, aggression, or social aggression, or social aggressive behavior? So when we talk about social aggressive behavior, we're not just talking about cutting, fussing, you know, going off and reacting. We're talking about antisocial personality disorder people, because those type of people are very insidious and they are very controlling people to get off on that, and they think it's funny too. I do not. I think those type of people are very disturbing and there's something wrong with them. But anyways, anybody who inherently gets off on harming someone emotionally in any way, shape, or form should be held responsible until a higher attempt. Because there is a level of knowing what you're doing wrong and doing that repeatedly to someone at that point becomes criminal. And I've been a staunch advocate about IC3 crimes and the NSA becoming more deeper with the police department, DCNF, and layers of school-aged children and preteens and teens and adolescents and young adults. Because it's becoming more prevalent of people going postal. And I'm more afraid of the levels and layers of people going postal because not enough is being done to protect people and adequate protection in the workplace and workplace environment or any industry that someone may work in. It doesn't mean just like regular industry, like famous music industry or film industry, but we're talking about industry as a whole. And when we think about I am abundance mindset, we're thinking about our nation has to already heal from pathological narcissistic sociopaths at high levels. So when we're thinking about this, what does antisocial personality disorder mean? And then we're going to talk about layers and depth of how we go through understanding mental health and the mental health breakdown of bullies, provokers, gaslighters, emotional abusers, tormentors, and people of those nomenclatures. So I will tell you, there is no excuse for anybody being pathologically, emotionally toxic, or abusive. And personality disorder people get off on it. They love it. They love it. They love it. You'll never hear me defend them. You'll never hear me say, oh, they didn't mean it. They know what they're doing. And when we think about this in the workplace, in the workplace environment, it creates aggression and upset in the workplace to where there are fights that break out. People end up, you know, getting pushed to their limits. And then, you know, when we think about antisocial personality disorder, APD people, not ASD, ASD is Asperger's syndrome disorder. When we're talking about personality disorder people, we're talking about cluster Bs and cluster As and not cluster Cs. So when we're talking about these antisocial personality disorder people, we're talking about the incel type, and self-talk to this girl nosy. She did something on incels, and I really thought about it for a while, and that's why I did something piggybacking off of that, because I look at some of the bloggers out here in this world. There's a way to do everything, no matter what field you're in. And there's room for everybody to get to the top, okay? But how you get to the top sets of tone is the same thing with workplace environment and bullying. How you get around in your workplace environment sets the tone of your success, make or break you. Whether you step on the back of someone else and do antisocial personality disorder things to someone who set them up to look crazy, upset, angry for no reason, or pathologically and seriously on beyond force controlling the narrative to set them up for failure to react, and then you've got toxic bosses in the workplace as well. So when we're talking about these different things, we think about borderline personality disorder, and we think about people who are in cluster A and B. And I wanted to go break it down in the mental health shame, and then in the workplace and workplace environment, and bullying awareness and things like that, so that my babies, teens that are in the workplace, and also for my adults who are in the workplace, and as a human resources graduate and things like that, I want you guys to understand why it's so important. Because I had to study this. I had to study communication. I had to study human resources. And, you know, my minor is in human resources, but that is like my concentration area. But the actual major itself is in business and business management. Part of this is also people management. And people management requires a level of emotional intelligence, understanding, and then I've been there personally and intimate partner violence. So I want you guys to understand how workplace violence can actually breed violence in your household, and it can breed violence in your dating life, or it can breed violence in a marital situation, and especially if you're working with your spouse and how that can go work hand-in-hand in the workplace. But we want to get to a point of bullying awareness. You should lift other people, not knock them down, and I'm better than that. You should be able to say that to yourself or anyone else. And when we think about this, be someone's hero today. There are too many people in this world who are unkind. Be a kind person, send a kind word, and let them know bullying is not okay and they're not alone. So we think about this. Can you ever take back the pain that you caused someone? Ask yourself that. Can you take back the mental, emotional pain that you caused someone? Everybody thinks, oh, I'd rather get hit. No, I'd rather get hit than get mental scars, emotional scars, because they don't go away as fast as getting hit. So does that mean that you should hit somebody? No, you should not. Because nobody has the right to threaten to hit someone. No one has the right to threaten to hurt someone. And then when someone's seen fighting back, that's where we're talking about the insidious levels of incel, antisocial personality disorder people, narcissistic people, or pathological ambient force controllers who like to set the narrative and set the stage for somebody to look crazy, nuttier than scroll cards, when they're not. So when we think about this, this happens in intimate partner violence, and post-separation abuse, and marital problems, or vicious cruelty in divorce. So when we think about this in the workplace and workplace industry, or no matter if it's you're famous or non-famous, whether you're in a technology industry, whether you're in a retail industry, whether you are in a medical industry, it doesn't matter. Workplace is workplace is workplace. Whether you're a sex worker, whether you're not a sex worker, whether you are in any industry, it doesn't matter. Well, like I said, if you're technology, if you're medical, if you're law, legal, all those practices, everything has the same nomenclature of healthy environment. You know, a healthy environment of love. So when we think about this, we think about bullying hurt. We think bullying emotionally hurts and it scars us because you cannot take that tone and undo the damage. You cannot take a level of emotional violence and fix it after you've done it. So that's why they always tell you the tongue is stronger than a sword. It does not mean that the sword that might have you won't cut your head off. But you have to think about this. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You die by the tongue. So when you think about this, clout is one hell of a drug, and internet famous is a hell of a drug. And then on top of that, this day and age of levels of digital, we are in a time period of people wanting to do things for like and a freaking retweet or somebody's internet clout or trying to keep their reputation of street cred out there being tough. And, you know, like I tell people all the time, y'all talk tough, do tough stuff until it comes to consequences and legal questions. So, you know, I'd like to say this. Here's one of my most famous things I like to say. I may not fit the mold, but it's okay. I'd rather break the mold than be somebody I'm not. I'd rather be an original than die a copy, right? So when we think about this and people who go get on the social media earner trolls, provokers, and gaslighters, it takes a lot of work to make a fake account to follow someone, to provoke them, gaslight them, threaten them, death threat, or bully and harass to the point that a person emotionally erupts or is flying into a fit of rage. So think about this as a teenager, young adult, adolescent for my babies. I love you guys, and I wanted to do this, especially for my daughter, and I wanted to do this for all you children out here who might be on social media thinking it's okay to harass and bully, provoke, and gaslight or emotionally abuse, or you adults who act like children and think it's what I need to do. There's nothing funny about making somebody's life a living hell on the internet. I will, excuse the language, I want you guys to understand that I'm a raw, authentic life coach, health coach, and I don't like to use unprofessional language, but hell's in the Bible, so we're going to use it today. If you don't like it, plug up ears today. We're just going to have a good sermon on a level and layer of mental health, emotional health, and levels of antisocial personality disorder and cluster B type people, because they're dangerous to the workplace. And when I say dangerous to the workplace, because we're already dealing with the prevalence of mental health issues. Children, by the time they're 7 and 8 years old, are already faced with some type of mental health or form of mental health, whether you're diagnosed or undiagnosed. Okay, so we need to have this conversation is, I know I'm not alone. And like I tell you guys all the time, I laugh about it all the time. I feel like the poster child for mental health because I've been through so much emotional violence, mental health, situations where my mental health was compromised due to intimate partner violence, post-separation abuse, emotional abuse, rape, sodomy, things that have happened to me, and that happened to me as an adult, and then also as a teenager, being raped and things like that. There are levels and layers of pathological, emotional torment and layers that we don't unpack. And if we don't unpack them correctly as a teenager, it falls into our adult life, and we fall into patterns of dating those same type of people, or incel type, female or male, and then or in between, or whatever somebody identifies as. Sexual preference has nothing to do with a person's pathological narcissism, antisocial personality disorder, whether you are gay, lesbian, straight, trans, bisexual, homosexual, or heterosexual. Nobody in their right mind would make somebody's life emotionally unstable or any level of feeling unsafe or levels or layers of bullying somebody to the point that they have to threaten you to leave them alone. And when we talk about those levels of flying into fits of rage, when somebody finally erupts from being bullied, I've been through that. And I want you all to understand, it's embarrassing, but I want to make sure these live vlogs are professional when I do my presentations. And I've been through levels of post-separation abuse and insidious levels of ambient course of control, and levels of bullying, provoking, gaslighting, and people making fake accounts, harassing, bullying, doxing my account, doing all these things. They've done it for a decade. And you got to be doing something right when somebody's bullying you. Because, I mean, it's a level and layer of bullies are people I call haters. They're having aversion towards everyone trying to reach success. So a hater is someone having aversion towards everyone reaching success. So haters is a what I call abused admirer. Some of them are fatal obsessed, and some of them are fatally acquainted or fatal attracted to you. And when we talk about this, antisocial personality disorder people become obsessed with the target of their possession or obsession. So when we think about this, targeted bullying and layers of that misconduct in the workplace, it goes hand in hand, whether it's in your environment at home, whether it's in a post-separation abuse situation, intimate partner violence. We'll talk about ITV a little bit more and get into the layers of how it can lead up to homicide or it can lead up to social abuse in the workplace and levels and layers of how far it can damage the person. And then they end up having to go see a doctor. And like I said, there are some people who are antisocial personality disorders who should be seeing a doctor and they're undiagnosed running around here doing the most. So when we talk about these types of incel types and we talk about these people, in mental health terms, antisocial personality disorder is not something I think is fun. I don't. I think it's very dangerous to be that way. I think it's very dangerous to be a pathological abuser. And I think it is it's not okay for workplace environments or managers to overlook behaviors that they think to deem as normal. Because, like I said, nobody in their right normal set of mind would make somebody's life a living H-E-double hockey stick at work. And like I said, it's not really mentally healthy to be that way anyway. So if you have to live in that type of environment or be married to that type of person, you know what I mean. So let's go over personality disorders first, and then we'll go into the teaching. And part of this is that mental health is important to not have a stigma on disorders like bipolar disorder or levels of anxiety disorder, general anxiety, or anything like that. Because everybody has some form of some type of mental health or some type of issue that they might inherently happen to have once they end up going through a lot of trauma, PTSD, or things that traumatize them or parts that change them. So nobody is immune to possibly dealing with mental health sometime in your life. And like I told you guys, there are people who just get off on this type of stuff, and they think it's funny to do. I don't. I feel like we have to have these conversations about mental health because we have to work around people who are dealing with mental health all the time. We just may not know. So when we talk about these different types of things, how do you deal with someone like that? How do you deal with someone who's pathologically narcissistic? How do you deal with a somatic cerebral narc? How do you deal with someone who likes to play games? So when we think about all of this, we think about cluster-based personality disorder and is it healthy to have? No, it's not. Because when we talk about this, we have to talk about this in candid terms and in frank terms of what a person will be willing to do. Like I said, narcissism and cluster-based personality disorder fall into three different categories. We're talking about cluster A, which is the paranoid, schizophrenic, disaffective, and schizotypical. So when we think about cluster B, we're talking about antisocial personality, narcissistic, histrionic, and then we're talking about borderline and things like that. And then we're talking about cluster C, which is obsessive compulsive disorders, avoidant or dependent. And that's where we have people who are dealing with cluster B and cluster A, and they end up dealing with a personality disorder from dealing with people who are really extremely disordered and toxic, which fall in cluster A and cluster B. So when we talk about this, we think about the histrionic. Histrionic people are self-dramatizing, theatrical, easily influenced, and then also that shallow, liable, and effectively attention-seeking, inappropriate, and preoccupied with physical attractiveness. So when we think about these borders and things like that, we're thinking about where that personality disorder is coming from and what nature and what quadrant they stay in. So when we think about borderline and TULSA, we're thinking about act without regard or consequences or quarrelsome behavior. And then we think about anger outbursts with inability to control, inability to maintain action. We're not talking about reactive abuse syndrome in that nature. That's how narcissistic, antisocial personality disorder people, they will sit there and set up their target to look like the narc while they're doing the narking insidiously, or what we call microaggressive and macroaggressive behavior. So it's easy to do online and be seen as the bully and aggressor when you're reacting versus the person who's doing the bullying, and they know exactly what they're doing by trolling, provoking, gaslighting. It's been done to me for 2 years plus. And over 10 years. And in the 4 years of political asylum I had to seek due to the situation and intimate partner violence overlapping that, it's easy to make a person look like the narc when they're not the narc. So when we're talking about I'm the target of bullying and my fatal attraction, fatal obsession, then when I'm seen reacting, then they'll make me look like the narc, but I had to go look it up and then I had to go ask the doctor, like, am I a narc? Am I a pussy map? So like, and you had to ask and you had to do self-reflection. Narc don't self-reflect. They don't ask these questions. So you are an empath. So when I sat there and actually did this 4 years ago to really start looking into narcissism, what I was dealing with, I realized I dealt with a bunch of them. I realized I had dated them. I slept next to them. So in the interim, I had to learn more about these types of people because I literally got trained to ignoring the signs and the red flags. You know? So when we think about this and we think about toxic people in the workplace and work environment, it's the same scenario. It's the same thing as intimate partner violence, except for you're not sleeping with that person, hopefully, not your coworker or anything like that. Or you may be working with someone who is like this, but they're undiagnosed. Then we think about narcissistic. They're pervasive and they are grandiose in their behavior. And some of them are covert, some of them are overt. And when we're talking about covert insidious abusers or ambient course controllers, they lack empathy and they are very actually inwardly sensitive, but they show you levels of cruelty and callousness because of trauma and things that they've been through. But I'm going to tell you guys, and the buck stops here with that. Your trauma or your abuse narrative is no excuse for abusing someone else and punishing them for things that happened to you. If that's the case, then I should be around here punishing people, setting them up for failure, and doing narcissistic, sociopathic, pathological, emotionally abusive things without abandon. But being that I'm an empath, and being that I'm a person that believes in treat others as you want to be treated, and I was raised in an I am abundance mindset, an orphan mindset, I was never raised to be misconduct and abusive naturally. And the things that I've learned to react to go and defend myself, you know, people would get mad because I got the best of them because I had to learn how to quit combat. Because, I mean, I've been bullied all my life. There's always something somebody has to find to bully me about. I'm like, okay, what now? You know? You know? You know? Because it gets so pathological and done so many times that you just sit there and you're just like, okay, come at me, bro. Come at me, sis.
because you get so used to the pathological behavior, you start to not notice it. And then when we're talking about the abusive behaviors that people will have, they'll think it's okay to do. So it's the same thing with a neighborhood environment of toxic behavior or intimate partner violence or a habitual stalker, provoker, gaslighter, emotional abuser, or tormentor. They will find ways to emotionally abuse, provoke, and gaslight, and then turn around and blame you for having a reasonable reaction to their insidious behavior. So I may not fit that mold of being what's your typical target of bullying, because guess what? I fight back, yeah. So when we think about this, sometimes you do have to fight back, but you got to fight back in the proper way, because NARC, personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder people, or insidious levels of people who are completely Machiavellian type of NARC, they are very counterproductive and non-conducive, but they are productive and conducive in how they go and paint the narrative and set the stage for you to be set up for failure. So when we think about this, that's how a victim of narcissism ends up working like the NARC, and the NARC looks like the victim. So in the workplace, that works hand in hand with antisocial personality disorder, cluster B personality disorder person, or a schizoaffective person affecting someone. So then the person who's being bullied, who's in a point of rage and upset, looks like they're having a period of psychosis when they're not. They're just sick and tired. And they're just like, beat me to beat, you got me messed up, beat me to beat, I'm tired. You know, and when you look at the people who actually end up having a neurotic moment and they don't turn off from being enraged, then you get your Nicholas Cruises, the people who shoot up school and do all this stuff, or shoot up the workplace because they're just so fed up. And then if you've got toxic bosses who are just like that, that's when you get into that times up need to and a possible postal worker and somebody comes to work shooting up the place, and then you're just like wondering, oh, why didn't we notice it? Well, there are things that led us to it. Sir, ma'am. There are things that led up to somebody going postal. They gave you their warning. So as a human resources person and as a person who's been bullied, I know what it's like to be at the edge, but you have to talk to yourself and say, you know what, you're not worth me going to jail, because if I go to jail, it's going to be worth 99 years of life, and I'm not about to lose everything I worked hard on. So it's the same thing with intimate partner violence and a bad marriage and a post-separation abuse or wealthy, well-connected narcissist, or if you're dealing in the workplace and having an organization and you've got toxic people every tier, then you have to go and start calling it out for what it is. And so when we're talking about narcissistic people, they're preoccupied with fantasies of feeling special, unique, and that they're above the law, or they're above grade or consequences. Therefore, they go and start setting up their target for failure, setting the stage for the reactive abuse syndrome that you've seen with people on the internet. When you see people going live and they're going off about something, sometimes you have to look at the nature of why are you going off like this. And then we think about the pathological layers of trolling and provoking and gaslighting people that people are doing, and it's not enough rules in place now on social media yet, and it needs to be mitigated. Because I had this conversation with someone, they're like, social media is an epic failure. When it comes down to levels and layers of adequate protections for children, youth, adults, or special classes of people. And when we think about this, there needs to be administrative officers online to see and start being guardians of galaxies. Too many toxic people can sit around and clout is one hell of a drug, and it's okay to bully, provoke, to gaslight someone into a level of rage and upset, then go chastise them for defending themselves. Like, make it make sense. And as a human resources person, I want to talk to other human resources administrators who may be watching this to understand the nature and the belly of the beast here. Because y'all are going to have to learn how to be socially informed and socially intelligent to know whether or not you need to ask the question, why did this occur in social media? Why were you acting like this on social media? What happened? Things like that, do the investigative forensic work as a human resources director or administrator or generalist when you're doing the hiring, and ask that person before you say, oh, I'm going to throw that recommended question, or I'm not going to ask questions during the interview. Because in the interviewing process, you may come across something on somebody's social media. Doesn't mean that they're not eligible to be hired. It means you need to ask questions to figure out if there's a justified need to why they're acting like that on social media. Especially if they're going through one intimate partner violence, narcissistic, pathological abuse, or insidious ambient force of control, or levels of promote gaslight in the form of trolling and then being abused in that nature. I've gone through that, so therefore I want to talk to people who are in human resources organization and SCHR and THR or certified to learn how to use social media to your advantage and to begin to learn how to hire and fire ethically, morally, but civilly be able to ask questions and criminally ask things, especially if you have to deal with times that need to situation in the workplace misconduct, or emotional abuse, or antisocial personality disorder, or narcissistic people in the workplace, including management and staff. So when we get to those natures of that, narcissistic people are interpersonally exploitative and envious of others. And they're toxic shamers, toxic blamers, and insidious pathological abusers to get off on making someone angry, upset, or explode on them. And then turn around and pathologically play the victim. And when I say professional victim, they are professional victims, and you're just like, really? This will be doing today? And then when you have to sit there in somebody's office like mine, and I have to ask you, why did you steal off on someone? Why did you punch them in the throat? You know, and things like that. And then I have to listen to somebody say, well, this has been going on such and such, and then such and such threatened me, and yeah, I want to. Then I have to explain to them you're not to put your hands on someone, but at the same token, sometimes it's justifiably unjustified, but justified. So that's why I want human resources, STHR, PHR, or non-PHR people, generalists, and also director, and people who are in industry should begin to learn to educationally and informatively start looking at things and then look at communication and then also look at the level and layers of mental health and also workplace wellness and workplace environment that do not have harassing in nature, nomenclature of people going through those levels and layers. And then when they finally snap, then you're like, well, why is this happening? Well, because you didn't sit there and investigate and you didn't defuse it. Sir, ma'am. Or sometimes if the workplace is so big that it gets reported, you're going to start doing intel and start looking at the workplace, start looking at these people's social media, and you'll start seeing where it led, where it happened. How did they get to the point that they went postal at work? Make it make sense. So when we think about antisocial, this is where we get into the meat and potatoes here of today's why. Antisocial personality disorder people are completely without concern of other people's feelings. They are just pathological and emotionally abusive, insidious, emotional misogynist, narcissists, and crying people who love to abuse. There's no other words around it. They get off on it. I swear to Jesus, if they should go and be off to being a pathological abuser, they would get off wrong because they do it insidiously, ambiently, and they continue it until you finally get to the point that you end up looking like the narc, they look like the victim. It's just that simple. So we think about they have no concern for other people's feelings. They're irresponsible and have disregard for social norms or social emotional intelligence. They lack that. They are literally pathological insidious abusers who utilize platform and communication channels to abuse, whether it's in the workplace or offline, online, or environmental. And then they insidiously neglect responsibility or disregard accountability, and they refuse to be accountable for anything they do. Some or other, you manage to be, even as a victim, but responsible for their behavior. They blame shift, and they victim shame, victim blame, and they toxic shame to the point that you're just like, really? So I'm at fault for you abusing me, tormenting me, provoking me, trolling me, gaslighting me, and this is what we're doing. Okay. So when we think about this, the incapacity to maintain during relationships, after relationships, and they have the insidious level that you work with the person that you actually end up being narc by or disnarc narc and anti-social bit. When you look at that whole circle of those types of people, they are insidious themselves who sit there covertly are agents provocateurs or agents of provocation. So when we think about this, low tolerance to frustration, aggression, and violence, incapacity to experience guilt, and prone to blame others when they create a dumpster fire, crapshoot, 700 iced tea, so at work or outside or in an environment, then people insidiously times up need to blame you for reacting to pathological, narcissistic, antisocial personality abuse that gets dealt to you. So when we think about all these different things, in the workplace, it is not okay to do this. And in marriage, it's not okay to do this. And when we start to see dating violence as a way for people to even take it to the workplace and seriously abuse someone while they're at work. So when we talk about these people, antisocial personality disorder have no regard and no concern for others. It is a self-centered person who genuinely has no remorse for their pathological abusive behavior. So when we think about this, and we think about the people who enable. We think about, oh, I wish she would have told me so I could have helped her. But when you don't tell to help, and help does nothing but enable it, then you have to look at the management, you have to look at the people who are going to you about it, and you have to wonder, are you like this? If you don't see anything wrong with that person's pathological behavior, their antisocial personality behavior, ASD, or their NPD, narcissistic personality disorder behavior, layers of pervasive radiosity, or levels of covert overt narcissism, or the level of being insensitive, or being preoccupied with the fantasy of feeling special or above accountability. It just makes it make sense. Because those of us who have been victims of bullying or have actually been through intimate partner violence or vicious cruelty and divorce know what it's like for a team to deal with a bully or economic abuser or a controller, emotional abuser, or what we call flying monkeys who work on behalf of a narcissist or antisocial personality disorder or sexual affective type of person who believes it's okay to do that. And then when they have pathological history of doing this, you begin to look at the layers of it and start looking at it in the workplace and mental health and figuring out whether it is a criminal nature or pathological in nature or this person really is just toxic to the workplace environment and needs to be fired. And so when we think about this as a human resources person with that background and then as a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, marital coach, and counselor, we have to look at these things when people come in my office. And then we talk about levels that have mentors and then doing a tour of speaking engagements and being able to speak to people about this. We have to attest the mental health being important, LSWs, student studies, and, you know, levels of PA for what we call a physician's assistant. And then on top of that, MDs who work in the mental health field who need to be clear on these different things if you're a specialist. And then when you have to go through workplace wellness and having people on staff who are administrative officers at work to be able to work towards a healthier workplace environment so we can reduce the level of homeschool people going to work, mad as all get out and then come back to work and they blow everybody's brains out because they're mad. Then the reason why I speak to attest to this is because I've been through bullying, but I have a stronger resiliency level and I've learned to just get to the point that, like, rationally, I would say, in a rational mode. Although it becomes insidious and deadly and homicidal in nature that people have done things to me and threatened me, provoked me, gaslit me, even death threatened me on social media and nothing was done. And then, you know, when I had to speak to somebody else and say, hey, I've been death threatened on social media and this is the second time in 2 weeks. You know, and then when you think about it, how can you be so a failure as a social media owner to not do something about it? How can you not see this as not a fault? When somebody keeps realizing you can death threaten someone or provoke and gaslight and emotionally torment or compromise somebody's sense of well-being, or in an environment, whether it's neighborhood, whether it's in the workplace, that somebody can insidiously abuse someone, harass someone offline at home and carry that on to the workplace. Do you understand where it just goes hand in hand like this? And then when you think about my babies, I hurt you. I want my babies that go to school, go to middle school, go to high school, to end up in Team Robot Online and come in the office, and that's why I have cyberbullyingstuff.com is where I created this for any place and will be a database for people to go and report these issues so we can start tracking these type of people and start talking about this and do the levels of investigative work that needs to be done. So cyberbullyingstuff.com is an initiative through the Northern Foundation, and I want you guys to understand why I put that together. Because I've been the victim and a target cyberbullying for well over, I think, 10 years, plus 12 years. It's overlapping where it was almost intimate partner violence. And when we talked about being bullied all my life, we're looking at layers of different situations and how far it went. And then we're talking about levels of people who know people who know people. And it becomes a level of multi-perpetrator, multi-district, multi-state tort. And then we're talking about levels of unhealthy behaviors that people have. And it's carried into the workplace. And it affects people like me who end up responding in an inappropriate manner. Lord is my baby, and like I said, I love you guys and girls, and, you know, anybody who's heterosexual or homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, whatever you identify as, no one has the right to sit there and insidiously abuse, control the narrative, and make you look stupid or crazy, or you end up looking like, you know, you're not even a scroll person because you're sitting there responding appropriately to a level of insidious pathological abuse. So, you know, we need to talk about what's appropriate in response. But when it gets to a level of criminal and behaviors that are causing that response, that you cannot fire somebody who is being toxically abused or emotionally or times up Me Too abused and that nature, it needs to be the other way around, where the bully and a bully and flying monkeys need to be terminated based on the nature of their insidious behavior or becoming criminal or becoming a level of what we call punitive damages, emotional damages, and levels of emotional motivation by proxy that they're displaying by levels of having to deal with incels or incel types or people who are antisocial personality disorder, APD, and people who are NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, who feel comfortable doing this because they know there's no consequences and repercussions, really, to go to jail. In my mind, on social media, they should have administrative office. Yep, I said it. Yeah, I do think people should be having a task force for the innocent. Yes, I think that Office of Personnel Management should salvage that and actually do a task force of people who work for social media, because I am tired of watching my child lose fun. I'm tired of being, like, at a parent level, watching my child who went through this and people asking for news, threatening and provoking and gaslighting her, emotionally tormenting her and aggravating her, and she was responding like how I was. And that moment, I really was like, okay, you know what? Gloves come off. Here comes mom mode. She's got my child messed up. And then when we think about this as a mother, I'm speaking on behalf of people who've been bullied. I'm speaking on behalf of me, and I've been bullied. And then, you know, when you fight back, then they want to call you bullied. Where? He's done this for years. I just now decided to fight back after 10 years, 8 years, overlapping, 12 years, overlapping different situations. Really? Now I'm the bully? I'll wait. So when we think about the reverse projection that narcissists and antisocial personality disorder people do, that's where bosses and managers have to be the hero. When we think about this, a boss has to be the hero, or a manager has to be the hero in this narrative trying to be too. We have to think about layers of how stopping the bullying and standing up for the underdog or the undercat, or stop the bullying altogether. Stop torturing a person's insane behavior because you like them, or that's the homeboy or your homegirl at work. Because the homeboy and homegirl might be doing something you are not aware of, and they might be leading up to a hopeful reaction, and something might happen. And this is my way of advocating for people who have been bullied, including myself. I want you guys to learn how to fight back in the power of your tongue, in the power of the pen and paper, and document what I did. Because whether it gets to a point of getting a lawyer or getting someone to represent you, you still need to be able to find a way to ethically, morally defend yourself and improve your argument. Because there's plenty of times I've been caught on social media going off. Yep. And some thing with me in this place. I'm on a big account. And they kept doing it. And they knew what they were doing. And the thing is, when it took social media managers to go back and look 2 years back, they're like, she's not talking about this for 2 years. She's not talking about this for 3 years. This girl's not lying. This has happened. Social media managers actually had to put things in place for me to be able to be safe online. And when we're talking about insidious levels of pathological and narcissistic abuse, emotional abuse, and emotional manipulation by proxy, when we think about this, we're talking about gaslighting, emotionally tormenting, trolling, harassing somebody to the criminal nature that you're sitting here for telling them, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this, and then you have to get to the point, like, screaming out, like, stop doing it! You know, and so you see the top, the levels of how far I had to go in octane to tell someone, like, stop. But when I said, stop doing this, please, stop doing this, please, stop doing this, please, stop doing this, please, that is a level of, I had to raise my voice. I have to get to a point of cussing and fussing to get you to stop. But then it goes and results in death threats because I'm saying, I'm not putting up with this. I'm about to move this to court. Now you feel comfortable decorating. Because you say, I'm untouchable. Nobody's going to investigate me. Nobody's going to investigate her. Oh, really? Okay. Good luck with that. But, Chad, when I say that the feds have made these documentations to level of military family documentation about these types of people and these pathological levels of this, and psychiatrists and psychologists have started studying the effect of social media and bullying and promoting to gaslighting, the same thing in the effect of bullying in the workplace, and studies on beyond corporate controlling abusive behavior. So when we think about this, and we think about our children, what are we doing? Are we enabling aggressive behavior? Are we enabling pathological narcissistic behavior, antisocial personality disorder behavior? Is this the reason why our children are depressed, anxiety-ridden? Is this the reason why our children are committing suicide at the highest rate now? Is this the reason why children are starting to become less likely to communicate effectively? Or is this the reason why they become pathological abusive adults? We have to think about safety first, ignoring, responding, telling, being able to ask for help, and taking steps against cyberbullying. And let's go over cyberbullying. What is considered that? And when we consider it no longer a private matter, that is behind closed doors. When it becomes a level of, come in my office, you come here, sit down. What's going on? So when we think about this, cyberbullying is bullying that occurs in the use of cell phones, computers, or any other electronic device that allows bullies to harass others anonymously. And victims of bully may not even know who is responsible. In my case, I do know who's responsible. There's several handfuls of us. They're just mad because they got called out. And I was able to pathologically put together their pathological narcissism and antisocial personality and cell behavior. And then it became a level of, oh, let me threaten her into submission. Let me threaten her into silence. But if you're pathologically abusing me in a dating situation with intimate partner violence, post-separation abuse, economic abuse, financial abuse, corporate control, and it's affecting my home-based business, and you're affecting my workplace, then, yeah, we need to talk about it. Because you're affecting not only financial, but you're affecting my emotional health, my sense of well-being, my sense of safety, and then you're trying to go to a level of insidious insanity behavior. And then I'm seeing reacting, and people don't ever get to the point that they intelligently ask, hey, what's wrong with you? And so now, and people start saying, why were you so angry all the time? I was being abused. I was playing into my partner violence, post-separation abuse. I've got three wealthy, well-connected narcissistic sociopaths, and then I have all the pathological people who have been in my life and kept this up, but they chose the side of the narc. The flying monkeys enabled all of this. Whether you're wealthy, well-connected or not. So when we think about this poor Joe Turkey down here or days, then we talk about all the layers of people that hired all of the echelon who should have stopped it instead of benefiting from emotional torment and emotional harm. So the same thing in cyberbullying, the same effects as the same thing in the workplace. So when we think about these things, if you're being cyberbullied, there are many steps you can take to get the help. And the same thing if you're being cyberbullied at work or if you're going to work and dealing with a pathological level of workplace violence, emotional violence, torment, provoking times that lead to behavior. But you can't sit there and complain about it or hold it in and then wait years later and then expect to get some level of reprieve or results out of it. Because I'm going to tell you something. In the time of times that meet you, we got to get to a point that we stop pathologically accepting the vice of abusive behavior and then normalizing it so that somebody says, well, why are you so upset about this? Because you're doing something to alter my depth of perception, my sense of safety and well-being. You're compromising my mental health and emotional health. That's why. So when we think about this, undeserving friendships or undeserving layers of being targeted to a layer of emotional abuse and torment that is affecting a person or the reaction or their normal nature of not being reactive or violent or anything like that or having to threaten violence to get somebody to stop. And then we think about social isolation and the lower layers of pathological bullying that can affect a child, an adult, or a young adult, or anybody middle aged. Because with enough people doing it, it becomes what is bullying. It's a form of abuse. Whether you want to believe it or not, it is a form of abuse. Psychological abuse does more damage than anything else. And then on top of that, aggressive behavior intends to harm another person. So when we think about that, going name-calling someone, mocking them, even with covert or toxic shame, toxic blame, invasion of privacy, and using their private conversations against them and playing mind game techniques at work. That is toxic behavior, times up me through behavior. And then we think about spreading rumors, physically hitting, punching, stabbing, pushing, stealing, personal property, or any form of physical aggression. So that constitutes bullying, harassment, work environment, or in-level abuse, and home-based business, workplace invasion of privacy, and emotional needs and torment. So I know what I'm talking about when I would be like, D-D-D, you've got to step up on silence, D-D-D. But I had to learn to improve my argument, as most of us who are bullies end up with reacting to the problem. It's like, you know what? The next person that does this is going to get verbally, no, you won't get. So at that point, we have to think about social. Ignoring, isolating, excluding parents from social activities, are feeling for inclusion. So when we think about psychological stalking, taunting, harassing, intimidating, that can happen physically or virtually, cyber or offline, environmental, and domestic terrorism is when it's considered. In my mind, psychological cyberbullying through electronic devices, for example, texting, emailing, IMing, posting on social media, or uploading lewd or offensive pictures of someone, which is called revenge porn, and doing the same, or doing it at work and sending it to somebody's cell phone. So when we think about these pathological narcs and abusers, they may not think that that's not illegal, but it is illegal. So that's why I said I challenge IC3, the organization that does that, that's at the government level and the NSA and levels of that, to have administrative officers online. Here's the reason why. When we think about this, bullies want to be popular. They think it's funny and clout. They think clout chasing and doing this as a way to get in and fit in is okay to do. cyber-mobbing cyber-self, cyber-baiting someone into a level of behavior that they normally don't have, and then pathologically, essentially talking, shaming them, and talking, blaming them for finally having enough and saying, I'm not going to put up with this, and cutting you clean out. You don't have any right to talk to shame someone. You don't have any right to talk to shame me. It's been done to me. But do you know why that person is responding that way? So when we think about this, there's a lot of people who think inherently that they can sit there and psychologically, emotionally abuse and torment someone, and then, oh, they don't have a right to fight back. They do. They may not be appropriate what they said and things like that, but it's appropriate for those means and measures. It is going to criminal in nature or detrimental or homicidal levels of death threats and provoking gaslight the way it's been done to me. So when we think about this, mocking means parroting. Using the same words as someone and insidiously using lipstick cam or wiring someone's house are not right to blame why I gave tagging. Psychological abuse or psychological terrorism or psychological warfare. It is illegal. It's outlined in 1984. So when we think about these social activities such as this, bullies are jealous. They're hateful, they're miserable, and sometimes they get detrimentally homicidal and they make enough money and think that they're above the law. That's why I want to talk about narcissism and social personality disorder, cluster B personality disorder people. Because they think that they have a right to do that and you're not supposed to speak up. Oh, I am not the top. No, I am the top, especially if you've done something and you know you benefited from my downfall or level of loss where you cost me my dreams and my hopes and you cost me economically, financially. And then you have people judging me based on that and you affected me grossly and your behavior, and your insidious, obvious, of course, is controlling behavior. Or whether I went to law enforcement or not, or whether I went to BCNF or not, whether or not you can have a level of loss. And then even in the workplace, if I address in the workplace and end up losing my job, versus that person who's insidious, so you have people back them up in their wrongdoing. That is where we have to go look at times like these two, and as human resources professionals, as EHR, PHR, or any layer of human resource generalists, or any person that works in a human resource office, we've got to become emotionally intelligent, communicationally intelligent, and then on top of that, civilly, criminally intelligent, and know when it's becoming criminal and behave. And accurate documentation. So we want bullies to not feel powerful to the point that they can silence their victims. And then when we think about level of homicide, we think about layers of hostileness in the workplace and how this happens, is because bullies want to feel powerful. They feel threatened. They want to escape their problems. They feel insecure, and they transfer that on the person who's the target of their fatal obsession or fatal level of emotional abuse, torment, emotional mental and proxy, or flying monkeys who feel like they're untouchable or benefiting from what the bully did because they don't want to be bullied by the bully. So we think about all these different things. We think about how cyberbullying can affect someone. We think about in the workplace how it can affect someone. And then to sit there and to negate what the effects of bullying happens to have on somebody's workplace. We think about stress, anger, depression, anxiety, and reactivity syndrome. We think about physical problems such as headaches, stomach cramps, vomiting, loss of appetite, skin breakouts, or levels of layers of complete clinical depression, or levels of emotional breakdown to the point of mental health breakdown. And then that's where you see somebody who ends up like Nicholas Cruz shooting up a high school and things like that, but he fell to the layers of the crack when he reported the issue. Nobody did anything. So when we think about withdrawal from friends and social activities, decline in schoolwork, and then levels of nightmares or poor sleep or even anger. And they don't need anger or monitoring. They need levels of protection, adequate protection online, offline, or in their environment. So nobody has the right, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's an intimate work violence to terrorize, invalidate, provoke, gaslight, emotionally, insidiously, can be exposed to control, or abuse, or torment someone, or death threat them when they finally fight back and start calling people out. Because at the end of the day, nobody has a right to make somebody uncomfortable, or a United States citizen, or a UK citizen, or a Canadian citizen, or any citizen of any country to sit there and pathologically abuse someone to the point they get to the point they're angry, upset, stuck in the fucking, and then you believe the victim. Make it make sense. So we think about all these different stereotypical things that people will do, and then they sit there and begin shame victim blame, and then how it affects your life. So I want for you, any of you who've been bullied, to call into our number, which is just one moment. I want you guys to give me an example of when you've been bullied. Call 515-602-9765, talkradiodiva.com. Tell me your story about being bullied. Let me know how it made you feel. Tell me the type of bullying that you've experienced. Then write down what a bully does to you. Write down the things that they've done, and then when you call in, let me know. Because I want to have a second session on this, and a second in-service for those who are HR, who are asked to have this narrative and this conversation. Again, because it seems to be a pathological thing that people do to insidiously, emotionally abuse someone, and then think it's okay to criminally threatening them, or going to gaslight them, and then when you're seeing responding back saying, you know what, you think you're going to kill me, then you go work, or things like that, and then try to punish the victim. This has been done to me. So when we think about if a bully is affecting your life in the nature of your job or your reputation, libel, slander, and things that were done to me, or going to protect your health information, and doing things to insidiously abuse, calm you out for to control the narrative, then you need to tell somebody. If you don't tell somebody, it never happens. Even if law enforcement can't do anything about it, or if they're a little longer, you have to get them an intel agent figuring out what's going on. If it's becoming criminal or becoming deadly or 8 years of potential homicide. And in my situation, it requires law enforcement and level of intel and people to go and do something about it. Because it's becoming a level aware of their criminal, and it's not a good feeling to be provoked, gaslit, stalked, harassed, intimate work, and violence. And then it's affecting my workplace, which is my home-based business. And then outside in my office, I don't need to be thought-provoked and gaslit like that. And then on top of that, desperate for tampering with cars, you don't know if I got stuff that's happening. So when we think about this, what do we want to achieve and have this conversation? Understanding, force, unity, abundance, advancement for everybody, and not feeling like you're hopeless or don't have a layer of protection or a global civil rights, human rights, basic rights that we're supposed to have as citizens. So when we think about antisocial personality disorder people, when we think about how they get off on causing problems, and then they don't want to be held responsible when it comes to times like me too. And so when you think about Sharonda Burke, that she spearheads and you know, levels and like layers of people who have taken on these times like me too movement and blew it up bigger and things like that. And we're talking about layers of Hollywood being heroes now and addressing these issues. And we're seeing levels and layers of people coming forward, but sometimes it's a little too late. But we need to talk about this as a human resources in the background of what to do with ADR, mediation, and workplace bullying, harassment, provoking, gaslighting, or levels of industry and things like that, and how we would be the first table of something for people to understand that it happens to everybody. But how we handle it going forward is the appropriate measure, and then learning what the statute of limitations and things like that, and figuring out how the ADR mediate a lot of these issues to keep it from ending up in court or all the layers of people ending up hurt, dead, or, you know, things like that, or threats of death like it's been done to me, and I'm not even Hollywood. So when we think about it's not uncommon to feel vulnerable, upset, angry, and feeling like concerns are being bottled up, so you end up raging, upset, and ranting, or what is seen as ranting, kiki, and it's not ranting, it's valid upset. So when we think about danger of being put in harm's way or harming others to the point that they are feeling like harming themselves or suicidal. I'm not suicidal in nature, never have been. But when it became well of people dropping the ball, they wanted the doctor paperwork and make them look like that. And I'm like, no, no, you're not. Never have been. I've always been a cheerleader. Get up and do something and let the world pass by. I've never been suicidal day in my life, and I don't plan on it either. I literally have lived through near death, my child nearly dying with me, and things like that, and a level of provoked to see intimate parts of violence, and so many things. Was there everything that was designed to kill me? Yeah, I really have. So when we think about this, we have to acknowledge our feelings. We have to acknowledge our feelings in the workplace and to feel better and begin to heal and learning to cope with what's happening with us and to make us a stronger person. It does not mean bullying should be a reason for somebody to be stronger. You cannot bully somebody to the point of near death, homicide, attempted murder, medical misdiagnosis, medical misstep, and say, oh, somebody needs to be stronger. No, you don't get justified bullying like that. So when we think about this, a good way to work towards that change is to keep ourselves safe by making agreements with ourselves to be emotionally safe, and then on top of that, to be able to have a workplace environment that's emotionally safe, mentally safe, and environmentally safe, and then coworkers that are emotionally intelligent enough to know when enough is enough, or learn how to conflict resolution, and without level of layers, death threat, homicide, provoked, gaslight, emotional abuse, or insidious, forces control, toxic shame, toxic blame, or invalidation, or levels of passive aggression, microaggressive, macroaggressive behaviors, or setting a person up for failure. So when we think about all of these different things, even social personality disorder people do this on and offline. They do it with email, text, cell phones, applications. It happens to me. So when we think about all of this, we have to find a way to stay safe. We think about where it is confidential in nature, but there's a point where you have to tell somebody outside the workplace if it's becoming dangerous. And then when we think about harming someone or forcing someone to harm themselves or causing layers of emotional breakdown to the person feeling like, I can't take this anymore. You know, things that people have done. So when we think about acknowledging our feelings and learning how to cope, it does not mean being forced or involuntary, forcing somebody to cope with a level of insidious criminal behavior. For us to do, if you feel threatened or you feel panicked or anxiety ridden, or if you feel like there's no hope, that is a criminal level of bullying, provoking, gaslighting, emotional abuse. To me, antisocial personality disorder and narcissism should be considered a crime. It should be considered a class felony. It should be a layer to where there is no misdemeanor. There is no, oh, oops, my bad, I didn't mean. Because if you affect somebody in the nature of 5, 6, 7 years, 10 years, 12 years, whether it's 1 year, you've affected that person mentally to where their brain changes, their thought process changes, the way they operate, the way they think changes. So you need to be held to a child and criminal level. So when we think about toxic shamers, toxic blamers, and things like that, we think about the things that we have to do in an emotional safe agreement at work. And then more of this is to find a trusted adult or people who weren't pathologically antisocial personality disorder, cluster B personality disorder, or levels of disorder to where they have a lot of people saying, oh, you're just sensitive. No, I'm not sensitive in that sense. I'm just tired of this behavior, and you're not doing anything about it. And if you're a boss or a manager allowing that, then you should be fired right along with the toxic shame and toxic blame or insidious this level of insults in the workplace or domestic terrorism in the workplace. And then we're talking about full separation of these emotional abuse, intimate parts of violence, and carrying it over to the workplace and affecting someone to the nature that they lose their job. So when we're talking about these different things, we need to talk about the criminality of it, and we need to talk about the civil, and then we need to talk about the punitive part of it, and then the levels of emotional loss and damages, and where a person should be able to recoup in times that need to. But looking at the statute of limitations, when things are 20, 30 years back, then we're talking about we need the ADR. So that's why I said in human resources and those natures of that, we have to get into these conversations and have to talk about these common narratives and things that have to be talked about. And levels of law enforcement, legal, and then we have to be and then we have layered a bunch of different things on that nature, and then having judges, lawyers, and things like that, they're trauma informed, or whether it's narcissism informed, or mental health informed, to understand that these mentally unhealthy people, that they're in the workplace undiagnosed, and people don't even know it. So we think about this, whether to ignore, respond, or tell, you need to know that ignoring bullying, times when you should respond, and times when you should tell affected adults. If it's hurtful or and things like that in nature, you can tell human resources. But if it's becoming intimidating, harmful, offensive, and into the nature of repetitive, and it's becoming where it cannot be easily ignored or pushed aside and say, hey, don't do that, and writing someone up, and it's becoming pathological, then we're talking about nature's own. Hey, we need to look at this as a criminal civil, and we need to look at this times that me too, and this is constituted for a lawsuit and restraining order or things like that or firing. And it's becoming a level of hostile and threatening to that person. It's become hostile and threatening towards me to the point that there need to be fired. There need to be any sticking contracts. There need to be levels of law enforcement involvement, and levels of cell involvement, and levels of some people need to be locked out and handcuffed because it's become deadly homicidal in nature. And I'm not the one who's deadly homicidal because I don't think like that. It's not something I wake up in the morning like, yeah, me too. No. I don't think like that. I don't wake up on, I'm going to punch everybody because I've been abused. I don't go wake up and say, oh, because I've had trauma here, it's okay to go sit there and traumatize somebody else. It's because my dick changed. That's the difference between antisocial personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder people. They feel entitled. They do. They feel entitled to abuse. They feel entitled to shame. They feel entitled to go and create a level of unsafeness and mentally unrest and well-being compromisation. They feel like it's okay to do. So when we think about it being an action or comment that is hostile or causes a level of threatening and a level of response to threatening because of someone threatening them, then you have layers of, I'm not the norm, that's the norm, and then I end up looking like the norm because I'm responding appropriately to their level of insidious behavior, but they're hiding my bank account, catfishing them, trolling them, and that's not fair to me. So when we think about those different things, we have to understand this as a human resources and do for our children, my baby, and then for adults and special needs, or any nature of trans, bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual, or anything LGBTQIQ or 2IA. And then we think about this in the workplace, being able to have a functional workplace environment where people don't have to worry about being shamed if they come forward, or a layer end up of once it becomes repetitive and you told somebody and somebody's still not doing something about it, then the managers need to be fired because you knew what was going on and you didn't stop. And bullies decide to test this all the time. And they'll say, that's not true. Stop telling lies. Do you have psychological problems? Are you mentally healthy? Have you seen your doctor? You know, things like that. And it's like, excuse me, I don't even see a doctor. You know, levels of violating your personal rights and privacy, and people have done it to me. Some people were going in records, tweeting them, provoking, gaslighting, pulling your federal records and sealed. Doing all kinds of things that were unacceptable and compromising to somebody's mental health, emotional health, and psychological, pathological warfare, and doing things to the point that you're just like, excuse me? How dare you? So when we think about this, you know, abusers, antisocial personality disorder, incel, or pathological abuser, narcissistic people feel entitled to do that. Then they want to go death guard you because they know the consequences. On page 45 in the Illuminati in the Testament states that, you know, people with a position of power don't want to lose it, and they'll go do anything to sit there and provoke and gaslight someone into silence, or emotionally torment, provoke and gaslight, or insidiously abuse to silence their victim. That's the same thing with a person who doesn't understand, you know, paradigms of life and order and things like that, and people who operate like this disorderly, misconduct-laden, emotionally abusive, tormenting, times like these two types of people. So when we think about this, tell a trusted adult immediately and make sure of your physical safety, emotional safety, well-being, and things like that. And, you know, level the things that somebody posted, special material, find it, get it off the internet. I have been told to do that. I have actually talked to social media and then got the back end tool to be able to do that on Google and also on different levels and layers and in the back office way tools to get you off the internet. So if you need that help, let me know. You know, and responsibility when it's becoming insidious and learning how to respond appropriately, I have to improve my argument over time. It took a long time for me to get past anger and upset and to get to the point of breathing and past the grief and understanding that I want to be able to help other people. And then I've got to help myself by improving my argument. And I started documenting it a little bit better, but they continued and continued, and they still do it up to this day. So when we think about all this in the workplace, and we think about bullying, harassing, we think about teenagers, we think about young adults, adolescents, middle age, or even people who are not middle age or young adults like myself. When we think about all these different things, we talk about these people can be very insidious. They can be your doctor, they can be your lawyer, they can be a police officer, they can be anybody. Anybody that abuses their position of power in the nature of causing detriment, harm, or emotional discord and things like that in someone, you should be charged. But frankly, pathological is becoming deadly in nature, or sitting at the 8 series of potential homicide, a level of somebody being potentially able to go postal over that. Me, I don't want to go postal. I got a job. I got a career. I'm trying to read brilliant and do everything. And then on top of that, we have whole separation of these intimate partners, violence, force control of behavior that's becoming criminal in nature, and if it's affecting the job, then there needs to be level of charges brought forth. And then there needs to be punitive damages, restitution, and criminal charges brought forth to domestic terrorism and doxy of those people who've done it, including us, the neighbors, who knew what was going on, or in environmental terrorism. The same thing with workplace environment. The same number of places there needs to be in a workplace. No one should be afraid to go to work, and no one should have anxiety by the time they get to the workplace and see what they're all doing. Oh, well, no longer you're by the time they get to work. So with that being said, I wanted to make sure that people understand when you make an apology, don't make your shame and then don't negate your responsibility to your behavior or irresponsible behavior. I had somebody do that to me the other day. Well, you cussed me out. Yeah, because you sat there and provoked a gaslight and you've done it for a number of years and you invited me to a fist fight. Your grand people sat there and threatened to kill me. So what do you want me to do? Then it was all day long with the gun across the street. Then it was with the other guy who called me all kinds of bees and this, that, and the other. So where do I not need to fight back? But then I end up having to deal with law enforcement who allows a hit partner to keep getting messed up. So where do you think I have anywhere to defend myself? And then the officer says, we want to take her to jail. For what? I never did anything. I reported this issue for 10 years. You did nothing. And he worked for the police department. The other one worked for the sheriff's department. And said, do the connector. So tell me where make it make sense. So that's where you have to look at layers of law enforcement officers who may be corrupt. Or you got layers of where you're going to legal abuse, commercial abuse, and insidiously on the workforce controlling someone or affecting their workplace. So when we think about apology, how does a man heal your relationship and deepen your peace of mind if that apology is sincere? But do not dip and shame victimhood or negate that your behavior is the catalyst of them responding in that nature. It happened to me the other day. But she hid behind a bush to go to the apologize. But I accept the apology just to keep the peace. But there's layers of how dare you get up here and think that it's okay that you think that you're justified in talking to me in a bad way after somebody else threatened me that day, early that morning, and then the next guy did it, and then you did it. Then you cut off. That's what I meant by abusing and the nature of abusing your position or somebody upholding you in your behavior because of somebody else who's wealthy, well-connected, and we had people that were on the court to protect them and their wrongdoing. So then when you have people who are death-threatening, provoking gaslighting online, and death-threatening me, do you think that's okay for you to do? No, it's not. It's insidious behavior. So that's why I want you guys to understand bullying in the workplace and then workplace environment. Just even speaking from a home-based business and during COVID doesn't mean that bullying does not still go on. It's gone on all the whole entire time COVID's been going on. So then when we think about this as a life coach, wellness coach, business coach, divorce coach, and post-separation abuse and relationships and things like that, when you have to separate from someone who's insidiously abusing you and then using a platform to abuse, it's if you've been dealt with this person for a number of years, you don't even think about them, but the only way that you think about them is when they're provoking, gaslighting, emotionally tormenting, abusing, and bullying. So make it make sense. It's the same thing with working in the workplace. So I hope this helps you guys understand antisocial personality disorder people and how they instinctually do things, and the assumption is that they think that it's okay to do. And then on top of that, they don't have boundaries. So we're going to break it down later on tonight about BPD and APD and NPD type people. But I wanted to go into the workplace misconduct part first, and then on top of that, dealing with antisocial personality disorder in the short term of what it is, so we can go into a deeper level and layer of what it is, and then break it down little by little, and have a little in-service and things like that for us to understand workplace and having a healthy workplace and healthy workplace environment, and as a human resource background, for us to be able to understand this when I train in business and have a conversation about this and do out of the training in offices and things like that, so you understand how I do training. So I just want you guys to see it in real time. And then on top of that, for you guys to understand, as a coach, that I'm well qualified to do this. And I also want you guys to understand that it's important times like me too, to be able to arbitrate, mediate, and learn how to do this. And that's more about online with mediations. And then also, John Diva Coaching, we do the mediations. And at INCCCoaching.com, we do mediations and arbitration. So I want you guys to understand that. And then on top of that, you know, having took parallel classes and having a background of doing all these different things and whatnot in school, I learned all these different ways and tools on how to help people. So it comes to me, I'm willing to help. And part of my I'm abundance mindset is reaching out to someone. If I'm going to break you down, I'm going to build you up. So as a team lead and as a person who is a manager and who is a person who is well qualified to manage and lead, I want you guys to understand I've been through it, I've lived through it, so I can better understand you when you're coming to me saying, hey, so-and-so did this. I'm not going to automatically jump on the bandwagon, but I'm going to listen to you ethically, non-biased, whether you're white, black, or you're Italian, Dominican, whatever. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me your side. What happened? Let me do the adequate levels of investigation so I can render an independent decision. And I don't care if I like you or not. Right, wrong, is wrong. So the same thing in a marriage or a divorce. Right, wrong, is wrong. And judges need to understand that. And so do law enforcement. And there needs to be levels of red tape that can be going through. When there's levels of intimate partner bonds and levels of wealthy, well-connected narc to get away with a lot, even close to being your murder. So I'm not going to die by Christmas Day, and I'm not going to end up dead by Christmas. I am going to be still alive, and I'm going to live a long time. I'll live to be past 97. I'll live 10 years after my mom. My mom lives to be 99. I'll live to be 109. So when I say that I want to speak life and a level of unity, abundance, advancement, I want people to understand that I heart everybody. And then on top of that, being a real-life Asperger syndrome high-functioning person and testing gifted at 8, I want you guys to understand that it's important to have these conversations about antisocial personality sort of people. I've been the target of their obsession, fatal attraction, fatal battles, and fatal levels of relationship. And I want you guys to understand, you don't want to be fatality at work, much less an intimate work violence situation. So I wanted to make sure that we have an understanding of this and what incels are and what pathological abusers, narcissists, sociopaths are, and how it relates to workplace environment, marriage, or levels of awareness of the unsafe, or people who are dangerous, deadly, and homicidal, and need to be stopped in their tracks, especially if they feel like they're untouchable. I just think you can point out every number. I just think you can point out every pathological abuser or, you know, antisocial personality disorder person, but when you check it, stop it at the helm, and that way people will start feeling safe when it's over, and there's not a lot of organizational churn or turnover or reasons why people think, oh, I hate working in a mess over there. Oh, they always keep up stuff over there. Oh, they always have fights over there. Because you have bad management, or you have bad staff, or you have levels of internal levels of solutions management team who are lazy and won't do the work. So when we talk about all this, I want you guys to understand, fear not, follow the light, trust the process, and then begin to look at times that need to, and not the nature of missing on someone, but is it becoming dangerous or detrimental to my emotional health and mental health, or they're becoming a level of unsafe or feeling unsafe, then there's a level of somebody has to stop and be the hero here. So let us all be good, normal citizens. For sure, not to push something to a mirror to where somebody almost ends up dead behind provoking gaslighting and emotional abuse and torment, or somebody goes total behind it. So that's it. That's the live training for today. You guys have a nice night. And take care. I'm going to take all that out of here, and then we're going to close out the show. Take care.
All right, everybody. In the next 3 minutes, 55 seconds, we will be going live on our Twitter to do an unpacking after our show. You're welcome to do that. And then also let us know. And then also come to our Facebook. Go to teamworld.online. You can go to also Dawn Diva Coaching or IMCC Coaching on Facebook, Instagram. Make sure you like, share the pages. And then on top of that, in 3 minutes, 55 seconds, we will be absolutely taking levels and layers of having an unpacked session. And then on top of that, I want you guys to let me know your experiences and things like that with bullying and all that. And like I said, that countdown, I want you guys to understand that it's important and to understand the narrative of bullying and unpacking that. And then also why I did this in the training session and everything else. Then on top of that, I want you guys to go and follow up with us on imccoaching.com and also dondivacoaching.com, teamworld.online. And then on top of that, call 833-IMCC, 833-4-MY-APPOINTMENT for Dawn Diva Coaching, 833-BOOK-ME-TOO, and then I'll book on the website. Thank you. Take care. Bye.